Quell the Loss shines once again.
Hey there.
Hello.
Hi there.
Greetings. For the good of all. Bromkar.
Hi there.
Our destiny awaits.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you?
Greetings.
Hello, and welcome to Control Alt WoW, the podcast for those of us who love World of Warcraft and love making mini alts. Today is Sunday, June 22nd, 2008, and this is episode 68, entitled Fire in the Hole. I'm Aprilian, your host, and with me, as usual, is my co-host, Asheo. Hi, Asheo.
Hello, Aprilian. Hello, everyone.
How are you doing today?
Oh, fantastic.
Great. It's been a really good week, and we have a lot to go over. Summer Fire Festival.
Woot. It started, yes.
Yes. And in honor of one of our guilds, I'm calling spelling Woot, W-E-W-T. So if you hear me say Woot, I think of W-E-W-T.
It's pronounced with a Z. It's a silent Z.
So as many of you probably have done, or if you haven't gotten into the game, I would suggest you go in. The Fire Festival is in town. It started this morning, and it's going through July 4th.
Yep.
Coincidentally, I don't know why July 4th.
Funny about that. Yeah, I don't know. It's July 4th, fire. Nothing down here in Australia. July 4th, that doesn't ring any bell.
It's a Friday. Yeah, that's about it. Yeah. So, do you want to go into what it's about?
Sure. Okay. So,
since you've done more than I have.
Oh, possibly. It's like somebody in guild chat said, yeah, it started, and I started collecting blossoms, and it's like, oh, okay, here we go. I'm off. So I headed, you head to any major city, and there's a bunch of quests there to get you started. It's all about really collecting blossoms. You go around to, much like the, I guess there's a couple of them, there's the Orphan one has you running around a lot, but there was another one, the coins, the ancestry one, where you're having to run around to, you know, just about every camp and town in every zone on every continent. So they've revamped it a bit, and it actually now includes Outlands, and it includes Silvermoon and Exodar. So there's bonfires outside of all these places, and they're inside in the major towns like Orgrimmar and Ironforge, etc. And you get to them, and if it's your side, then you just talk to an NPC, complete a quest, and the quests, I didn't actually notice how much gold I got on my level 70s when I did it, but on my level 25 mages, for each place that you visit that's on your faction, you get 1,000 experience. And for each, the other thing you can do is actually go to the bonfire in the opposite faction's town in whatever zone it is and desecrate their flame. And for each of those that you do, you get 2,000 experience.
And it's 48, 50, and 96 something for Aprilian. She's level 60.
Level 60. Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, yesterday on my level 25 mage, she had just dinged 25, just going to the majority, haven't been to all of them yet, just going to the majority of places that I can get to easily as a level 25, I'm halfway through level 26. A level and a half, just going around and getting flight paths, and, you know, having to run a bit, obviously, desecrating a few fires. Level 26 and a half.
Cool.
And the other thing that you can do that also helped towards that, there's a couple of very frustrating quests in each capital city. There's the torch tossing and the torch catching. You need to do the torch tossing first. And I spent approximately 2 hours going absolutely nuts trying to figure out how you do this thing. And I know, have you actually
I have not completed it. I have not done anything. I've tried, and every time I click, you first of all, you have to click this guy, and then you have to turn, you get 30 seconds. And then I'm already losing 5 seconds turning around from the guy.
Yep.
And you have
so
to put...
It's, so he gives you a torch. So highly recommended, put it in an action bar so that when you fail the first time, because you will fail the first time, the second time you pick it up, you've got your action bar there and you're ready to go. You're not looking for it in your inventory. So I spent ages in Orgrimmar trying to get this quest done, and I was tossing them, and you know, very rarely it would hit. And I think, well, you know, that was a hit, surely. I wasn't seeing any visual indication whatsoever that I'd actually got any of the eight. So normally when you need to, you know, collect eight of something in a quest, you know, it shows up and says, hey, you've got one of eight. I wasn't seeing any visual indication at all that I was actually progressing in this quest. And in the end, I just gave up. I just got so frustrated and I gave up. Because I was thinking that for some reason, I don't know if any of you use Vizio out there, but it reminded me of my mouse behavior reminded me of Vizio. Vizio's got this snap and grid feature. So rather than your mouse moving smoothly across the screen, as it approaches what it looks like as a grid, it'll actually snap your mouse pointer to that point rather than, you know, just smoothly going pixel to pixel across the screen. And it felt like It felt like every time I actually tried to center my mouse and click on these braziers to toss the torch, it would snap away and I couldn't actually center on it. And I was figuring, well, I must be missing because I can't center on these braziers. And you can't take any time. You've got 40 seconds to get eight torches into the braziers. And basically what happens when you start the quest and spin around, there's like a hunter's mark that appears over one of the braziers. And it moves to another brazier about every second and a half, 2 seconds. So you've got very little time to actually position your cursor over a brazier. And it looks like normally when you throw a bomb, you know, a little green circle appears on the ground. And then you click your torch and it tosses it. And I just could not do it in Orgrimmar. I just was completely... I was thinking, I must be missing something. I tried and I tried and I tried. Nah. Gave up eventually and thought, oh, well, carry on my merry way. I'll go and collect some of these blossoms. And I went to Thunderbluff. And there, obviously, the braziers are in different positions in different towns. And I thought, oh, I'll try it here. And as soon as I tried it in Thunderbluff... The very first one I tossed, I noticed up in my buff area, this buff came up, and it, you know, with a one in it. I went, oh, hang on a minute.
Oh, and, really?
Yeah. Clicked again. Oh, now it's got a two in it. It's like, you know, hover over, and it says, yeah, you've hit two. And I'm like, oh my god. It's like, so there is actually visual indication that you can progress in this quest. And my mouse wasn't dead in the center of the brazier. You don't have to have your mouse dead in the center of the brazier. I was probably overlapping, you know, the little circle over the brazier by, you know, two thirds. But it's all about the timing. I'd actually, as I was flying out to Thunderbluff to do some other stuff, I'd actually opened a ticket and was going to ask a GM, you know, is latency an issue for this quest? Because, you know, my latency. With everybody in those towns trying to do these quests at once, my latency was like 600, 650. And I'm thinking, oh, with that hunter's mark moving so fast, and it's obviously server-side timing, maybe latency's got something to do with it. But I did it fine in Thunderbluff. So if you're in Orgrimmar and you're having problems, head out to Thunderbluff or even Undercity. I don't recommend trying to do it in Silvermoon because they're parked under a tree, and if you like zoom out and trying to look down with your camera, there's all trees and stuff in the way, and it's really annoying. Thunderbluff, I found the best. But basically, the pattern of it goes: as soon as you pick up the quest, the hunter's marks start appearing. Don't ever try and go for that first hunter's mark. It's probably already been on that brazier for half a second. You've for some period of time. It's not. I don't think it's a hunter's mark that's just for you. It's a hunter's mark that everybody that has the quest can actually see all of a sudden. So for you to try and hit that first one that you see, you don't have much time, and you already, if you try to hit it, because you've got a global cooldown before you can toss another torch, you're kind of out of sync. So always wait for the first one to go. Wait for the mark to move on to the next brazier, and you'll obviously click, clicked your mouse, so you've got the little green circle on the ground. You wait for the hunter's mark to appear. You quickly move your mouse to that brazier and hit your hotkey to toss the torch. And doing that, staying in that rhythm, I'm doing it quite easily now. I think in Orgrimmar, the other thing that I was doing, I was actually, because I'd failed so often, I was actually trying to stand. The other thing about it is you need to be close to the bonfire so you can actually light the torch and toss it. You can't move a long way away from the brazier, from the bonfire and toss to the brazier. So you're kind of, there's the very small area where everybody has to gather to do this quest. So if it's busy and you've got all people standing around you, it can even get to the point where it's hard to click on the quest giver because there's all people standing around him. I think there must be some sort of line of sight bug because I tried to position myself as close enough to the quest giver as I could, so I didn't actually have to move between accepting the quest and starting to toss. But given my incredible failure rate in tossing those in Orgrimmar, I think maybe I went back later and can do it in Orgrimmar now, but basically you move away from the quest giver towards the braziers as far as you can without getting out of the area of effect of the bonfire. And eventually got the very easiest of these torch tossing and catching quests done. So
another one.
Then you have to start doing torch catching. And again, you need to be standing near the bonfire. You get another quest item that you click. This one isn't timed, but you need to catch the torches four times in a row in the first time round. And basically what happens, because the torch is getting thrown up in the air, you're supposed to be able to see a shadow of your torch on the ground. And so you run in the direction that the shadow's heading. And, of course, as the torch goes right up, the shadow gets very small. And as the torch is coming back down again, the shadow starts to get bigger. And you want to be positioning yourself very close to where that torch is going to land. Otherwise, you get hit for fire damage and you drop it and you fail. And you need to do that. So it's automatic. You click it to start it, and then from then on it's automatic. You run to where it's going to land. If you're standing in the right position, then your character will automatically throw the torch back up in the air, or it starts heading in another random direction, and you need to start running, following the shadow, and again try and get in the position where it's going to land. And you need to do that four times. You catch it four times, you can complete that quest. And again, I had a lot of trouble in Orgrimmar, but it's there's so many people doing it in Orgrimmar. So I went back to Thunderbluff again, and without many people around there, apart from the risk of you falling off the edge or leaping off the edge because you're not looking at the edge of Thunderbluff, you're trying to watch this shadow, it's a lot easier to do in Thunderbluff. And having done that, you then get the daily quest open up to you, and the daily quest is you have to toss torches and get 20 braziers in a little over a minute, and you need to catch 10 in a row, and I have not been able to catch 10 in a row yet.
Wow. And that's for level 70, since it's a daily, right? Probably.
No, they're dailies, yeah. But that's the other thing about it. They're dailies that every level can do. So my mages...
This is like the Brewfest.
Right. So these are... And these dailies you get experience for. So certainly, if not the torch catching, I'll certainly be doing the torch tossing on my mages every day, because that's an easy... I've got a note here somewhere, 2,000 experience. And it's weird, when I was 25, I got 2,000 experience for the tossing and catching. When I hit level 26, I got 2,100 experience. And I was like, I thought experience went down as your level went up. But the experience I got for the quest actually went up.
Oh, wow.
So I thought that was a bit weird.
In some of the other quests, when you're closer to the level of the quest, the experience goes up. I've noticed this on Duel Boxing, where Aprilian would get a lower rate than Real Fire was getting. But yeah, that's cool.
So they're the kind of the quests you can do. There's another quest line that sends you out to Zoram Strand in Ashenvale. There's some Twilight dudes out there, and you kill a couple of them and get a quest item, and it takes you to another quest where you disguise yourself as a crab, which is really cool. So of course I've got screenshots instead of Hyde, you know, being the hunter with the pet there. I've now got a screenshot of Jekyll the Druid that looks like he's got a pet crab named Hyde. So you disguise yourself as a crab and go and stand near some other NPCs and just wait until you overhear them having a conversation that completes the quest. It's very easy and trivial. Unfortunately, though, unless you're level, I'm guessing that at 70 because of where it takes you next, you get your hand in that quest, and it's one of these frustrating, okay, I've handed in the quest, and then it offers you another quest that basically just says, oh, okay, that was a horrible conversation, you know, head back to a capital city and tell somebody about it. And you click accept, and it says, you're not eligible for that quest.
Yeah, I got that too.
All you've got to do is go back to a major town. I mean, surely you can give us the experience and gold for that, even though the next part of it is it's all about this boss that they've put in slave pens. It gives you a quest to go and try to speak to somebody in the slave pens, and they've put a boss, Ahun, the Frost Lord, into slave pens. It's much like the Headless Horseman for the...
But it's got to be level 70 because Aprilian couldn't do it, and she's 61.
Yeah, apparently he's quite a tough boss, or you know, he's not a pushover. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if that's only for 70s. So lots of stuff to do. Yeah, so I'll be spending the next couple of weeks, I guess, every day. There's the reason for collecting the blossoms is the rewards. There's the top couple of rewards you can get. For 350 blossoms, there's non-combat pet, a captured flame. I haven't seen what that looks like yet. And another item that just says...
Oh, I saw it. The,
did you?
Oh, not the captured flame. I saw the dancing flame.
The dancing one? Yep. Yeah, so there's the other one.
The dancing one looks like a night elf.
Okay.
And there's yet dancing flames, yeah.
The brazier of dancing, the icon on brazier of dancing flames. I think it maybe should have said bra of dancing flames, but you know, I'll leave that to your imagination. And then there's lesser ones, like there's a vestment of summer that adds some spark to your dance moves. I haven't seen what that one does yet either. And some your typical shoulder pads and clothes and some other cute stuff.
And just as a warning, when you do desecrate the Alliance, or if you're a Horde, I mean, if you're Alliance and you have to go and desecrate the Horde,
Not that we're condoning that. You really shouldn't do that. It should only be Horde desecrating Alliance.
Alliance, yes. it marks you for PvP.
Yep. The NPCs that are standing around the bonfires won't attack you, but of course, if... there's guards reasonably close by. Depending on what level you are, they may well attack you. And of course, if there's Alliance standing around, then they're most likely going to attack you.
Yeah, because that's what they do. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to make those kind of hypocritical comments, am I?
No, you're not.
Yeah. Who was that? Referenced my hypocrisy.
I think a couple of people have now. So that's the Midsummer
Fire. Oh, that was Patrick. Yeah.
That was Patrick.
Yeah.
So get out there and have some fun. And of course I'll cover it now. But rather than what we've been doing, there's bonfires in the capital cities themselves. So We actually had a raid today. There's about 40 or so of us went and raided Stormwind and Ironforge and Exeter. And if you manage to desecrate the flames in there, you can get a quest that you can hand in and get a reward for, as well as a bunch of blossoms. Yeah. So right now, I've done the Ironforge and Exeter and Darnassus. Right now, Ashayo is hiding in a house somewhere in Stormwind. I'll log back into her later on when it's a bit quieter and try and desecrate the one in Stormwind.
Good times.
Good times indeed.
So, get out there, have fun, and get on all of your alts.
Yep.
And do the quest because you're
going
to want.
You got alts around level 20. It's not only are you going to collect blossoms and possibly get enough for some nice non-combat pet or something else, you get a hell of a lot of experience. And even if you're level 70, I imagine the gold for going to every one of those is nothing to be sneezed at either.
Right. And, you know, I hate to skip around, but I think that one of the inspirations for getting your 20 or so all out to do this is the news on the patch.
Right.
Let's jump to that.
Sure.
So the PTR is up, which is the public test realm, which is where Blizzard generally tests the next patch. And all the stuff right after it's been up for, 20 minutes, it seems like?
Not long.
All this stuff comes out that, what's going to happen on the patch. And, of course, they did release the patch notes as well. So that was part of the excitement. And one of the biggest exciting things is that you're going to be able to get your mount at level 30 when the patch comes out. For 35 gold and, whatever it costs.
A lot sooner and
9 gold.
A lot cheaper.
Yeah. So, I guess this is going to make it a little bit different for a lot of people.
For sure. Of course, the immediate whinging and complaining of, I really earned my mount. You shouldn't be getting it at level 30, blah, blah, blah. Oh, no. What about druids? Druid cat form, travel forms now, complete waste of time. It's like, oh, come on. Get over it. I'm just thinking, I can't wait for it because, moving around places like Stranglethorn Vale, which is such a huge zone right now, it's going to be so much easier to get around that zone to get quests and stuff down rather than walking everywhere. So, can't wait.
I actually went ahead and I have a level 38. Vale is my level 38 rogue, and she's my blacksmith and enchanter. And she's actually up to 300 in enchanting, which is kind of cool. And whenever I have to take her anywhere, she has to walk. So I went ahead and copied her over to the PTR and rode her out to Shenzhen Village. And she got on, she was able to get her training and she got her mount.
Yep.
I know it's kind of silly to do it on PTR when it doesn't really matter, but I just wanted to see it.
To see that it's real. See that they've actually done the code for it. Yes, they have. And, of course, Warlocks and Paladins will get theirs mounts with training at level 30.
Yeah, so that'll be cool. So I guess we'll get into what we've been doing.
Sure.
The only other thing that was... There's a few other things like Mooncloth. Cooldown is
normal
mooncloth,
not the primal mooncloth.
Not primal, but normal will be eliminated.
Sell.
Mooncloth has already gone down. I saw it for 12 gold.
Right, it's going to plummet now.
Yeah, it's already plummeted because people will be able to make it. And it's going to be the same kind of thing that happened with Arcanite bars and the alchemist who could make arcane crystals and a thorium bar. What happened was, and I thought this was funny because I thought the Arcanite bars would go down because you could make so much more. The Arcanite bars kind of went down, but the arcane crystals went up because now people could use that to level. Before, you could only use it every 2 or 3 days, I think it was. I think it was, And so now the same thing's going to happen with Felcloth. I think Felcloth is, if you have Felcloth, I would hold on to it.
Have I got Felcloth? He says as he logs into his ult in Winter Spring.
Oh gosh. I think we talked about this secret before. There's
not much of a secret anymore.
Yeah, there's a cave in southern Winter Spring that this guy every once in a while has Felcloth and Grom's blood. You know, Grom's blood goes really expensive on the auction house. I've been collecting up.
No, I didn't. You just get I was just waiting for the Felcloth.
Yeah, well, I decided to do the Grom's blood, and I tell you, I've been making like 10 gold off of a stack of 5.
Cool.
But I don't put, it's been amazing. I don't put a lot up, but I put a little bit up every once in a while, and it's been making some money. I guess there's some pally quest or something that you need it for, and I guess there's a couple of potions. But so we both stuck alts out by this vendor. And what I do is, I don't know how you do it, but every couple of weeks, maybe, I ride out and I dump 50 gold on the level 5 alt and take back the Felcloth and the Grom's blood.
Yep.
And it's very lucrative. So if you have any Felcloth, hold on to it. If you have any moon cloth, I'd go ahead and sell. But you know, the other funny thing is that was released in this patch is they're going to be selling a 22 slot bag.
Yes.
And for 1,200 gold.
Harris Pilton.
Yeah, down in Lower City. She's already down there. I guess she sells something else now or just...
I'm not sure what she sells at the moment, but they pointed out that she sells it. She will be selling her own fashion accessories.
Yes.
One of them is a very large, very expensive bag.
Right. So, and what I noticed is that Primal Mooncloth bag has gone down a little bit. And so has Primal Mooncloth, which makes no sense. Somebody was selling 8 for $375. On the AH. But that doesn't make much sense. Of course, these are just what's going on Earthen Ring. Your mileage may vary depending on your realm. So it's going to be interesting. Of course, we don't know when this patch is going to be out. It's in the PTR. And of course, they can change stuff. But we're looking forward to the mounts at 30 and... I don't think I'm going
to
be
looking forward to a bunch of stuff that was in there, actually.
Yeah.
They're removing there's a nice thing in there that should increase DPS overall in raids where there's multiple warlocks, because they're removing the Curse of Shadow, I think it is, and Curse of Elements, which is the other one. One does, I should know this, having a warlock as my main, but I can never remember. One's like Shadow and Nature, and the other ones, Fire and Arcane. They're eliminating the Curse of Shadow, and the one curse will do the whole lot. Now you only need one warlock that can do all of those curses to increase the damage done by all those classes of spells, and leave the rest of the warlocks to do Curse of Agony or Curse of Doom. So that's good.
And Curse of Weakness? No, you probably don't use that as much.
Not so much.
Yeah, okay. So I guess now we'll get into what I've been doing. Is it my turn to be up?
It's your turn.
Okay. So one of the things I did was every once in a while, AIE has these runs. They did a run of the beef, and then they did a run of the gnomes. And it's just a fun thing where they get a bunch of level 1 characters. And we run through stuff. Well, two things that I did. I want a dual box. It's very hard to triple box. I tried triple boxing once when we did the run of the beasts. And sometimes when you're doing these runs, you're going to die because you're level ones running through areas where you weren't supposed to be. So this time I'm dual boxing twin sisters, Zombelina and Zombillion.
I haven't decided
and
on
they're
that.
They're undead, and they're identical twins, and they're both wearing the pretty black dresses. I started to give them the Brewfest dress, but what I did was I created both of them, and then I took one and I ran her to Brill, and I've been mailing her stuff. I mailed her some bags and some cockroaches. I'll get into that in a second. But when I went to take one of the Brewfest dress out of the bank, I had three in the bank, it became bind on pickup. They were in the guild bank. So I guess somewhere along the line, they realized that
they gone done changed it.
Yeah. I thought that was, I don't even remember seeing this anywhere. You know, you would think that if it was in a patch note or something. But
there's many things they don't put in a patch note that they change.
Right.
It's just not funny.
But if you win Brewfest, one of the neat things was that the dresses weren't bind on pickup. The suits were, weren't they? And the goggles and everything else was. So,
yeah. So, I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean, that just seemed like an anomaly that they'd forgotten to make one particular item a bind on pickup. They just changed it retrospectively.
Yeah. So, I could still sell them. But if I wanted to sell them at this point, I'd have to make someone, it's my, you know, we live to serve, my little alt guild. I'd have to make someone a member of the guild, let them pull it out of the bank, and then G-kick them after they got it. But it's just funny and I'm glad I pulled it out on a character that didn't already have a Brewfest dress. Well, so I guess anybody that has it in their inventory, it's now soulbound.
Yep.
So anyway, so I sent a bunch of cockroaches to Zombelina, because I thought it would be funny, because it's supposed to be the shambling undead, so I thought if a lot of the undeads had cockroaches, it would be appropriate. And I also bought some of those I bought a loot card off of eBay for, Uncle Something's Biscuits.
Oh, the pet biscuit?
Yeah.
Oh, so we're going to have giant cockroaches.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool. And the other thing I've been doing was I lost two dog whistles on the neutral auction house. I know, I need to stop talking about it. But here's, this part was funny. And it was a horde guy, and I went and tracked him down on one of my alts. And I just kind of, and he was in Tanaris, and I just, you know, did a slap and said, I hope you enjoy your dog whistles. You know, you can get them in Thunderbluff, by the way. And then I logged off. So a little while later, Real Fire is back in Azara. I finally gave up on hunting another Azure Whelpling, by the way. But she was back there hunting Dragonkin. And she notices when she spawns and when she logs in that there's no Dragonkin around. You know, she's got it on her map. And she runs around and and she looks and finds another horde. And it's the guy that stole... He purchased.
I was about to correct you there. Yeah.
The dog whistles, and I thought, "Are you stalking me?" Of course, now he's wondering what the heck is this? Because each time when he bought the dog whistle, and when I sent somebody to Tanaris, and when I ran into him in Azara, these were all different characters, you know. And I'm berating him for something that he's probably going, "What?"
Somebody's told the whole server that I bought these whistles.
So anyways, and speaking of the Azure Whelpling, I ended up selling it on the auction house for 750 gold. So,
ooh, yeah. Nice money.
That was nice. Nice to have. And
I just can't imagine spending that much on a pet like
on
that.
On a pet? Well, you know.
How much gold would you have to have just to toss 750 on a non-combat pet that you might pull out, you know, when?
Maybe it was a gift.
Wow.
So, Trishel was making some potion. I had, you know, one of the neat things about Aprilian, and I'm glad I did this, she had something else and I dropped it so that she could get herbalism, and now she has herbalism at 375. And I tell you, it's been great because she's been, she can make a lot of stuff. And there's some things that that you wouldn't think would sell, but the elixir of healing power, that's what she was making. And 10 of those flasks sell for 25 gold. I forget exactly what it does, but I think it's one of those, maybe something they use in a raid or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I haven't really found anything that makes a large amount of profit in alchemy. Did you actually look up the price of the mats that you could sell them for versus the price of the elixirs that you're making? Are you actually better off?
But I was just so excited that she learned to make flask of mighty restoration.
Cool. So, flasks are always good.
Yeah. So that's her third discovery. And for those that don't know, once you get to be a certain level, I think 350 in alchemy, while you're making something else, you have a chance of discovering a recipe, which is really cool because a lot of the recipes on the AH are very
ridiculously priced. Yes, I wish the same was true for jewel crafting. You could
wouldn't that be great?
Learn how to cut some other gem when you're playing around with gem. I mean, it makes sense. You know, why can you only learn stuff with alchemy?
Yeah, but you've already got prospecting, so that's kind of neat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
And I guess mining. Oh, that was the other thing I think that they're putting back in the patch, that you'll be able to find
the
gems again.
Green quality gems will once again drop from mining.
So
I don't know that they actually stuck the patch notes in there in anywhere that says that they were going to stop dropping gems of green gold.
No, they never did.
Confirmed it by announcing that they're putting it back.
Back, yes. A reverse announcement. So the other thing, then all of a sudden I got the urge to work on my Thunderbluff rep again. I don't know. Sometimes it comes and goes. So I decided to try some Feralis quests. I think there was something that I picked up in Thunderbuff that sent me to Feralis. And I ended up doing a couple of quests up there. It's kind of funny to go back to the old world. I know some of the purists say drop all the old world quests and stuff. But, you know, I mean, I like to do things offbeat. But the real fun thing that I did this week, and I got to dual and triple box in several instances. Two of them were just crazy stuff, you know. I want to see what the inside of the instances look like. I don't think I can get together a group. So I got Aurelia, Aprilian, and Real Fire. Oh, and we've also been questing in Outland. We were doing a lot of the Void ones, all the ones by Spinebreaker.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. I like the one that says Hellbore, the other white meat. We have to purify this Hellbore meat. And I found that this is the perfect combination for me. These three really work, and being an Outland in triple boxing is everything I thought it was going to be. I'm looking forward to once we clear out there and then go to Falcon Watch and get up to Zangarmarsh, and it'll be great. And the other thing was I wanted to make shadow cloth because I had the mats to make it. And so I rode out to Shadow Moon Valley. Boy, whew.
At 61?
61. No, 60. She Aprilian was 60. Real Fire was 61. And Aunt Relia was 63. We died a lot. Just leaving Shadow Moon Valley. God, if you leave... Because once we did some crazy stuff. We rode out to where's that post right out on the way from... there's one post on the way from Shattrath. In between Shadow Moon and Shattrath. We
just hit Stonebreaker
there.
Hole?
No, yeah, maybe that's it. And then we swam all the way out to the edge of Shadow Moon and then ran to Shadow Moon Valley
and then ran.
Yeah, there's a river.
It's not a direct route.
Yeah, but if you go really fast, you know. I'm sure there's a quicker way of doing it, but we did it, and you know,
you go down
and
the
then
road.
Along, huh?
You follow the road?
Well, you know, you can't see roads. If you haven't been there, you can't see them. So I didn't know where the roads were. And then even just to get to that one post, I had to run through that wasteland thing and run around the edge there. And I died, real fire died on the way there. But we swam and I got some fell lotus while I was out there. So that was nice. Some fell weed. I mean, fell lotus. That was cool. And then we got to Shadow Moon. Then we got to, this Alliance town out there. And you know, when you see a building and you see what looks like city NPCs and you run over, it's so devastating when they start attacking you.
I'm sorry, I'll come back later.
We don't want your kind here. Oh, you know, and I was dead and I had to run back. And I finally found the altar for Shadow. But, you know, you got to run through this valley. And fortunately, it seems to be a big place to farm.
Yes.
So there was a lot of people. And a couple of times there was even an alliance who killed something that was attacking me. So that was kind of good. And we got that. And I got to the altar. I made the shadow cloth. And then I thought there was another city just up on the other side, kind of north of all of that I could get the flight path to. Well, it turns out that it's Aldor Rep.
Yes, that's right. Yep.
Yeah. So we rode all the way up there, and only Aunt Rilia could go in and get the flight path. They attacked Aprilian and Realfire because they were Scryer. Gang warfare.
So you've actually chosen Alder and Scryer on all your tunes over 60?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I did. Well, I needed I like Scryer mainly because it's easier when you hearth in, because I have there's the guy that does has all the sewing material, leatherworking and tailoring. And then there's a guy there who does repair, and there's an arrow guy, and there's food and water. I don't think on the Alder side there's that much. They did stick a repair guy.
Finally put a repair guy there, but
by the mailbox, yeah.
Scryers have gotten easy.
Yeah, so I kind of decided to stick with that because Milfire is a leather worker and Aprilian's a tailor, and I know there's all this other stuff about what you can make and with what rep, and I don't know, when I try to figure out that stuff, my head starts hurting, so. Just skip it.
Sorry to jump back a bit, but do you use Cartographer?
No.
Okay. So
I guess I should.
I'm pretty sure it's Cartographer, but whatever mod it is that I've got installed, I'm even though I can't find it in the options anywhere, Cartographer actually shows you every zone as if you've discovered everything. Nothing's.
Oh, well,
nothing's
that's
undiscovered.
Yeah, that's
well, it's not
cheating.
After, I mean, you know, on your fifth level 70, it's like, I know where the roads are. Just don't make me ride over to that point just over there so you can uncover this portion of the map. Just show it all to me.
Well, if you knew it, then you didn't need it. But you don't know it. Your character knows it.
Thank you.
All right, well, I'm splitting hairs. Sorry. Oh, it is 2 o'clock in the morning here. What time is it there? Like noon?
4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, 4 o'clock.
Beer o'clock.
Oh, okay. So anyways, let's get to the fun part. So I did BRS with my triple boxing. Excuse me. And we got to the boss ogre. And I got the head, but we kind of wiped again and we gave up at that point. But it was really neat to see the inside of this instance that I will never see any other way. The same thing when I went into Dire Maul.
You went to
but
Dire Maul?
We went to Dire Maul, the east, with, you know, the one with all the big trees and the satyrs. And we got to the part where this big guy teleported me to this altar, and I guess he was going to do all sorts of nasty things to me, but we killed him before he could do it. And that was lots of fun. And we died a lot, but it was me and two mages. So two mages, two hunters, and a warlock. And it was real funny because it was, well, it was a lot of fun. And it was two people, Goldfin and River Sky, and it was people that would never see, they would have never seen the inside of Dire Maul. And it's funny because they were both over 60. So it seems like it would be kind of neat if someone would actually do some kind of a tour for these people who...
For the old world, yeah, for the old world dungeons,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah. So then, the big thing, though, was on Friday morning, I logged on. And I happened to take that day off because I had a doctor's appointment. And so I had lots of time. And Asheo says to me, why don't we get you your dread steed? Of course, at the time, you probably thought, all we had to do was run in and get it and run out.
I thought you were up to the Dire Maul part.
Yeah. Because I hadn't even let the imp out of at Scholomont's.
Lovely pronunciation there.
Yeah, and then so we went to Scholomont, which I rode from Undercity, and it was funny because I was originally going to triple box with Aunt Rilia, Aprilian, and Realfire, but as Aunt Rilia and Realfire, Aunt Rilia and Aprilian were going through Undercity. Realfire was on her Kodos and she got stuck at the door, and as she got off the door to get onto the elevator, Aunt Rilia and Aprilian went into the elevator and she got on the roof. I didn't realize she was on the roof at the time. All I could see was she would get to a floor and the door would be closing, what I thought was closing, right as she got to the door. But now I know she was on the roof, so when she got to the door was going down, or the elevator was going up. And it was just crazy, because I kept trying to reach the door, and I couldn't get through. And there's no way to get out of that situation except to die. Or hearth. I guess I could have hearth.
Well, I always die when I get stuck in there anyway.
Yeah, well, it's because of that stupid Kodos. And what else can they ride? They can ride a wolf, right? If they get exalted, or if they run... They can't ride... I know they can't ride a chicken. Can they ride a raptor? That's just silly.
Maybe look silly on a chicken.
Yeah. Well, anybody looks silly on a chicken. Although the blood elves carry it off very well. They do. So, anyways, Aunt Rilia and Aprilian, and we had... Oh, Matadoria. Which is Matterhorn's rogue.
Just call him Matter.
Yeah, we'll just call him Matter. I think it was Matter. Matter's rogue. And he was great because we needed keys to get into Scholomont's.
I'm sure I've got the Scholo key on at least one of my tunes, but I don't know who it was. It certainly wasn't my Pelion priest.
So he picked some locks for us to get in. And, you know, they got in, and it was neat. I'd never been into that part of Scholomont. The only part I'd been to was the other, I guess there's another side, where there's all these people in the streets.
No, that's not Scholo.
Oh. That's the other one with the mailboxes?
That's the other one in Eastern Plague Lands. Scholo's in Western Plague Lands.
Western Plague. Oh, okay. Sorry.
Eastern Plague Lands is Stratholme.
Okay. So, it was, you know, a fight through, and it was great. We had a great time. I don't think, did we wipe at all?
Not in Scholo, no.
No, it was great. And we got in, and we released the imp. And he ran around, and we got some bind on pickup stuff, and I was glad that Aunt Rilia respect for she dropped skinning to do enchantment, and she's now got enchantment up to 265. Of course, she did a lot of enchanting the same stuff over and over again, but and I know that's terrible, but I needed her to be up at that level.
Not that bad.
Yeah. So now she can do all the A lot of the Outland screens, because she can do she can disenchant stuff into arcane dust, and that always comes in handy, you know. And what was really funny is she did get, there was a couple of blues that she disenchanted and she got large brilliant shards.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that? And yeah. But and she needed that.
There you go.
Because once she went to go to Dire Maul, she realized that she had to go back to the Burning Steps. I mean, gosh, can they put that guy in a more convenient place? He is way out on the edge of, yeah, I mean, you know.
So and just, so just she, to give the listeners some indication, by the time, so we left Skolo, Matta and I, Hirth, went from Shat to Dire Maul. And started clearing Dire Maul. And actually, when I got to Dire Maul, there's an arena that's in the middle of, not actually in any instances, there's like an arena thing there that this rare spawn dragon had spawned in. So I thought, oh, you beauty, it's level 60, I'm level 70, I'm on my paladin, I'll jump in there and whack it and get some free blue loot. So I jump in there and started whacking this dragon. This dragon's hard to kill. I don't know how many 60s it must take to get this dragon down, but I was fighting it for ages. Eventually got it down and got two nice bind on equipped blues to pick it up. Mm. So we did all that and cleared all the way through Dire Maul to the boss. And Aprilian's still out there running around looking
for... I went back to the guy and he goes, okay, and I had the 250... that I needed, and I had, and but he, then he needed the 6 brilliant shards, he needed 25 dark iron ore, and something else. And
that,
I got
that point the dragon scales, or had you already done the dragon scales?
Yeah, oh, and the dragon scales. But when I went out there the first time, the dragon scales were back in my bank, so I had to fly back to Booty Bay and get that. And then I had it was good that I've got this system down with my alt because I was able to fly back to Booty Bay with Aurelia, and then Aurelia logged off, and I had somebody that had an alt in Thunderbluff go to the auction house, get the 2 more large brilliant shards that she needed, and get the dark iron. We had like 15 dark iron in the bank, so we just had to buy like 12 more or 10 more for that, and then. We went back, we turned everything in, and he says, okay, and now give me an Arcanite bar.
You'd think you would have, she would have researched it, wouldn't you, people? You'd think you would have researched
a bit
on you. Keep saying how great WoW Wiki is.
I skimmed it. I guess y'all did more than skimming. So this time I got out Trishel. And I got an arcane crystal off the auction house and sent it to Trishel, who is my alchemist. She made the arcane bar because the crystal was like $12 in twelve gold, and the arcanite bar was 25. And then she rode out to she sent it to Real Fire, and Real Fire rode out because Trishel's just 52, I think. And anyway, so Real Fire runs out to Burning Step to meet Aprilian. And they got everything, and then and then we went and killed a bunch of stuff so that she could have enough shards. Because while you're doing the rituals, you have to have shards to activate the lodestone. Whew, that is a lot of stuff. And considering the fact that I already spent the money for the
you already had a mount.
Yes, I'd already had the writing skill. So I did petition a GM. And they accelerated me to the next level when I explained my dilemma. That I'm gonna rant here for a second because the quest for the Dreadsteed is in Ogrimmar, and I was in Silvermoon because I'm a Blood Elf and I wanted to go back to my roots and get my level 60 training, and if I'm in Silvermoon, and there's a Dreadsteed quest. It should be in Silvermoon as well. Don't you think?
Yes.
Why would I go to Ogrimmar? My mounts are in Ogrimmar, and if I didn't know, I was thinking I could go out and go to the Warlock Trainer. And when I went for the 40, bam, there was a guy there that said, oh, here, you want to train to ride this What was the first one? It's not called a Dreadsteed, is it? What's the first one called?
the level 41.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
Yeah, I pass. I can't remember. That was a long time ago. Let's say it's a fell steed.
Yeah. Yeah. So, right there was the quest was right there wherever I did my training.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a fell steed.
But that was just, you trained it. It was right. A training point. It wasn't a quest.
Right. So the quest should be in every warlock city.
Yeah. Usually what they do there is in all the other zones they'll say, hey, you know, go and talk to this dude in Orgrimmar.
Right. At least if he had said that, I would have done that. I mean, I had heard inklings of this dread steed thing, but I was so excited about hitting level 60, and I ran over and got my fast chicken, and I have to say, it is a lot faster. It's amazing how much faster it is. You know, I can only dream now about flying, but I'm a little bit ticked, but there's nothing that could be done. I lost 540 gold.
Thank you. Come again.
Yes, but I can summon a dread steed now, and it does make... Oh, well, let's go back. So, I pick up some shards. I get like 25, and then... I guess you pulled in a Shayo?
Yeah.
Yeah. And where was she? Did she have to ride out there or?
Yeah, she was in Shad. Nearby? Yeah, okay. So we cleared all through to the boss in Dune Maul. Then I'm logged into the Paladin, logged into Shayo. Flew all the way down there, ran all the way through the instance, and you still weren't there.
And so finally they summoned me in. And we get to the point where I let the imp out, and the imp goes and does this thing. And I'm still not, you know, still clueless about what I'm supposed to be doing.
I explain what you need to do during the fight to use your black lodestone to keep the three symbols up and going. I neglected to say, but don't fight anything and pull aggro, because if you get hit, you'll be interrupted and you won't be able to click on your lodestone.
You know, I put my Fell Hunter on attack.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I figured that's probably one of the reasons why though that I drew aggro.
No, that's a good thing to do. You can only pull aggro if you're attacking.
Right. So I got hit a lot, and then I ended up dying. And as I'm dying, as I'm laying there dead, we notice the circle is there.
Yes. Yeah. You don't actually have to be alive for the entire time that the portal's being created. So you'd done enough, and Matter and I, you know, killed enough of the imps and the what else turned up, the guards. They were the tough because they were elite.
The foul guards. Yeah.
So we killed as many of those as we could, and eventually they overcome us and killed us, but you know, we obviously kept going long enough for the portal to be created and ran back in and summoned the boss.
Well, no, that's not exactly what happened. You resurrected me, or I came back. I think you... No, did somebody resurrect me?
Yeah. Ashiel ran back in and rezzed everybody.
Yeah. And then while you were in the middle of resurrecting everybody else, I start the...
Here we go. It was your Leroy Jenkins moment. And I'm like, hang on a minute.
Wait, we don't have everybody. And I think I had a soul stone on me at that time, because I think I died again.
Yeah, you died.
Yeah. And then I came back, but the horse was there and the question mark was on it. And I clicked on it and I had my dread steed. And then it was funny because we wanted to ride it. So Matter wanted to see me ride it. And I wanted everybody to be with me when I rode it the first time. So we actually hearthed to Shat, and Matter's hearth was at Shadow Moon.
Yep.
And so we had to wait for him to fly back. And then, you know, I clicked the button. I summoned my dread steed. I opened a portal and sucked him through, and it was fantastic, and he was beautiful.
You scorched the earth.
Yes, I scorched the earth, and he's got his fire breathing out of his nose, and, you know, riding the chicken now seems kind of
a bit lame.
Yes. Sorry.
All those warlocks under 60 in AIA at the moment. Aprilian's got all the mats now, and she's a June Dymal expert, so, yep, give her a whisper, and she'll run you through.
I'm willing to share the mats with anybody. That'll be neat. It'll be neat to see to do the whole thing from the beginning. Because it was funny because I went in, later on that night, I went into Dire Maul East. And one of the, and I want to give a shout out to Merton. He was one of the warlocks that had the mats and was willing. We were supposed to do something Saturday, but since Friday we were all ready to do it, I went ahead and did it. And then he thought I was doing it again Friday night, and he didn't understand that I was just in Dire Maul for fun.
Does not compute.
And it was fun. It was so much fun. That brings us to, we have a clip to play.
We do.
Oh, wait, no. You have to do what you did. Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
What did you do this week?
I'll be quick. I guess what I did this week. You'll never guess.
What?
You want to guess? I'll give you one guess. Go on, have a guess.
You did the fire?
No.
No?
All right, that's your guess. Bad luck. I PvP'd.
What, and like in the battlegrounds?
And Nassie whispers me and says, are you in a 5v5 team? And I went, I don't PvP. And it's immediately, I get a prompt on my screen, and Nassie has invited you to 5v5 PvP team.
You did arena?
So, yeah, all right. I warned him. I've never PvP'd. I've PvP'd for like all of 30 minutes in 3 years. Doesn't matter. So, yep, I did a 5v5 arena, and we got our ass whipped, and then we got our ass whipped again, and then again, and again, and again, and again, and again. And on the ninth one, the other team only had one person in it, so they forfeited, and we won one.
Woohoo! Woot! W-E-W-T.
So it was hilarious. I had no idea what was going on. So I've actually done it twice this week in order to get the you need to have at least 30% participation to be able to get the team ranking for the week. And it's actually still not really much idea, but it's actually hard to get going because you get put up against teams of similar rankings, and when you start a new team, your rankings I want to say 1500. Which is actually pretty good. So you actually get put up when you first start against pretty good teams. So you're always going to start off losing, and then your ranking goes down, and you find the happy medium and get put up against people that you're comparable with.
So who did you go in on?
Ashaya. Ashaya. Okay. Yeah. So for a warlock, I guess it's relatively easy. You go in and assist the main tank to find out who they're targeting to take down first. Send your fell hunter onto the healer to try and interrupt them and spell steal and to silence and dot everything that you can, fear everything that you can. So in the end, won a couple of games, and it was fun. It's not the primary thing that I'm looking forward to now when I log into the game, but I got in there and I gave it a try.
Hey, congrats! I'm impressed.
I also took one of my mages earlier in the week to Razorfin Crawl. Yeah, Razorfin RFK.
Okay.
So I'll run.
Is that the one on the left, right? That's the one with the open.
No, the one on the right. Heading down. Yep.
Okay. That's the one with the tubers.
The tubers. That's exactly my point. So.
Oh, and they're gonna fix that in the.
Well, patch. I didn't know it was broken. This is what I was gonna talk about. I thought. Okay. Well, the first thing I'm going into this instance and. a tip for people that haven't been into instances before, you can use, I'm sure Wowhead can do it as well, but I'm still a Thoughtbot user. You can actually, in Thoughtbot, say search for quests and then say, you know, look for quests in that involve killing in, you know, RFK, and it'll show you all the quests that are available for that instance, yeah, and where you can pick them up. So, you know, just as a reminder, okay, so I run over Thunderbluff and I ran down to...
These were with the mages?
Yeah, with the mages. Oh. So I ran down to Ratchet to pick up the Blue Leaf Tubers quest.
Mm-hmm.
And I still haven't lashed out and given my mages really big bags. You know, and whenever you do a run through an instance, you know, you're always, doesn't matter how big your bags are, you always fill them up.
Right.
So I thought, I'll be clever. I'll just pick up this the stick that you need and the cage that's got the little, what the hell is it? The little dude that you come out that sniffs out that so you can loot the blue leaf tubers. And I thought, I don't need the manual. I don't need the manual. I'll just leave that there, and then when I come back, I'll just pick one up to hand the quest in. So I did that and ran through, and I do the blue leaf tubers quest last. Saddled him up, and he ran off and digged up a tuber, and I ran over and clicked on it, and it said, you know, I forget what the exact wording was, but it was like, you can't loot that. And I'm like, what? Tried it again. No, you can't loot that. So at the time, I thought, oh, my God, it's because, you know, I haven't got the manual. Doesn't matter that I know how to do it. Maybe you've got to have the manual in your bags to do it. And it wasn't until a couple of days later that I actually saw in those patch notes that says you can now loot blue leaf tubers. I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't even know it was broken. Last time I tried this, it worked. So I'm not sure whether now because it's actually broken or because I didn't have the manual.
Right, yeah. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Did you go just with the two of them or did you go in a group?
It was just the two of us. I was actually biding time, and normally I'd invite other guildies that if they wanted to go in, but I had a feeling that I was going to have to bail partway through, so
right.
I didn't. A shield and a shield have been out questing in Netherstorm.
Ooh.
They completed every single quest that they could possibly find and complete out there, but four of them, which are a five-man group quests, and a bunch of guildies, shout out to Lank and Vizzy and a couple of others, helped me out yesterday, and I've now officially completed every single quest and quest line that you can possibly do in Netherstorm and those two.
Oh, congrats.
Yeah, so next week I start on Shadow Moon Valley and put myself through the pain of attempting to complete every single chain down there. And there's some really nice... I should log in and have a look, but there's some really nice quest rewards in those five-man quests in Netherstorm, apart from the fact that you get, particularly if you're Scryer or, well, I guess it's the same on both sides, but I'm now halfway through honored in Scryer just by doing those quests in Netherstorm, and I know at least one person in the guild, Hi Tark, that has never completed the quest in Netherstorm, and he's still only friendly with Scry. So you get hell of a lot of obviously a hell of a lot of rep on doing all those quest chains in Netherstorm. So that's, you know, a lot more efficient way of doing it than getting to 70, skipping all those quests and trying to do Sun Fury, Signet and Arcane Tome hand-ins and things to try and get your rep up. And Shadow Moon Valley's, you know, there's even more quests that are Scryer older specific that are going to give a whole bunch more rep down there. So I'll be up for that. A shield tanked his first Mechanar run yesterday. Mechanar's one of the instances out in Netherstorm. I wanted to run Mechan Bot because you get not only nice quest rewards from that, but also the key to Arcatraz, which is, you know, yet another instance out there.
You ran him by himself?
Oh, no, no, no. Lordy, lordy, no. A proper full five-man group that with a very nice set of heals and DPS to go with my very average green quest items and a couple of blues tank. to take that instance. We wiped a couple of times, but yeah, we completed it. It was
quite
doable.
That's what matters in the end. Yeah.
So that was fun, and obviously helping you with your Dreadsteed and Midsummer Fire Festival is really the finished the week off for me.
Oh,
so it's been pretty full on.
I'm going to have to take your advice and try to go back and figure that one out, the torch throwing. Is it worth all the trouble?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
You really should figure out how to do it. Otherwise,
so you'll
self on July 5th and go, I wish I'd really figured out how to do that.
So we're going to pause for a second and we're going to play our interview with the host of Despairum Video Games. We'll call him Priest. And we'll be right back.
You have referred to him during this podcast, and you actually do during the interview. River Sky and Priest is the same person.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That's true. And he has some insights on WoW. And I thought it would be interesting just to, you know, show the difference between our game style and his, although he's not that much far from where we are. So take a listen and we'll be right back on the other side.
Doom, 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 doom.
Okay, so as we promised, we have an interview today with Priest, who is the host of the podcast Despair in Video Games, and he also plays World of Warcraft, which is a video game. You would agree, right?
It sure
Welcome,
is.
Welcome, Priest.
Oh, yeah, and Shayo's here with me, of course. Yeah.
Yes, thanks for having me. This is actually my first non-segmented appearance on a podcast. So,
oh well, we're honored to have you.
I've done a bunch of segments for other video game podcasts, but this is first time on Skype. First time doing the whole thing. So
there you go, double first time. Excellent.
So, tell us a little bit about your video game play style. Let's start with that.
Well, let's see. I had WoW in one hand and City of the Heroes in the other hand. This was the day that WoW came out. And I had just gotten a new computer. I was like, oh, cool, I can actually run video games now. And I almost took it, and I put WoW back on the shelf, and I took City of Heroes, which I enjoyed a lot. It's very flashy. It's very much like crack. It's enjoyable for a short amount of time. Not that I've ever smoked crack, but but then you get tired of it and you burn out. And so everybody else was on WoW, and this was back in the old days, Molten Core days. And
we're talking 2005, right?
Yeah. And I had just started getting into podcasting and was listening to the Tavern Cast podcast, and they had a guild on Whisperwind called the Pod People, and so that got me to go on there. My first character is actually a dwarf paladin, but then I did a warlock undead on Whisperwind, and now I'm in another podcasting guild with you two.
Right.
Which I enjoy quite a lot.
So you were actually in the Pod People?
Yeah. Okay. My character's still sitting on Whisperwind, doing absolutely nothing.
So you did a lot of raiding and stuff.
I like instances. That's my thing. I really enjoy instances more than grinding or quests. And I know it was, I think a World of Warcast podcast was saying, you know, it's masochistic to take a holy priest or a holy paladin and level like that. And I don't see it that way if you spend a majority of your WoW time in instances. And I enjoy healing. I really do. It's a lot of fun.
So the thing that really inspired me to invite you onto the podcast was that you recently did something that I thought was pretty impressive. You did not go into Outland until you reached level 58. Is that correct?
Yes. With my first Horde character.
Okay. So, and how many characters do you play?
My sugar daddy main is a 70 healing pally that I brought over to Earthen Ring so he could infuse my Horde character with some scratch.
But you basically only play one character, right?
Right now, yeah. I play my Blood Elf Mage.
Okay, because I think it's interesting the juxtaposition between someone like me that plays multiple alts and someone like you that plays just one person. So why didn't you go to Outland? And just to clarify, I think you did this too, Ashaya, right? Yeah, a lot of us go ahead and port our counters to Shat.
Yeah, so my level 10 mages were Hearth to Shat.
Right.
I guess I'm a purist at heart. I, like when I started podcasting, I didn't get into it big. I just had a laptop and a microphone, and I rarely use mods unless I really need to be on my toes for like my 70 and I'm doing care. I'll use Omen just so I don't, you know, I know what kind of threat I'm doing. But I'm a purist. I really enjoy, and that's why I use a trackball. I stand behind the trackball. I know a lot of people are like, trackball, dude, you got to clean that thing all the time. And yes, you do. But I love my trackball and I am mod free right now.
So wait, you played a healing paladin in the original World of Warcraft in 40 man raids, and you didn't use any mods to do the healing?
No, I was in Kara with him actually, Karazhan.
Okay.
The only mod I had was Omen.
Wow, I'm impressed.
Oh yeah, it's like a typewriter. It's just the same key. See, and it's something about that, I guess, depends on your mentality. I know, I mean, you guys can sit in front of 2-3 computers at once, talk on the phone, pick your nose, eat dinner, and, you know, play your characters at the same time. And there's no way I could do that. But that's your personality and your mindset. And that's what this game allows for. So.
Right.
Okay.
So in your podcast, which we should remind people again, is an explicit rated podcast.
I wasn't even going to mention it.
if you're over 18, do go and check it out. But you have mentioned in your podcast, I've listened to 3 or 4 episodes now, it's spread over a couple of years. You've obviously been doing it for quite a while. You've mentioned on just about every second podcast I listen to, so I gave up and I'm going back into WoW. Which I guess means at some point you keep giving it up.
And yeah, you know
so
what
do you
that
keep
is?
Coming back to the same tune, or do you come back to it to a new tune, or what's the story there?
Let me ask both of you this question. Do you play console games? Do you play the Xbox or anything like that?
I don't.
I've got an Xbox that I play not a whole lot.
Okay. I was consoles way before I was computers. And the thing about a console is there's very few games that come out that you sit down and play and play and play to. And I'm not even talking to the degree of WoW. That's way out in a different realm. I'm talking about, like, I don't know, Call of Duty 4. A lot of people play that a lot. But when it comes to consoles, and only just recently, multiplayer's made it big. So you get a lot of single player games. You sit down, you get your fix, you know, you have your drug, and it's over. And you move on, cool. and you move on to the next game, and another $60, and another $60. And when I last left WoW, I was just like, I don't play enough. I want to see Kara. I want to see Illidan. I love the story. I read those books. I can't remember the name of them now. The Soul books that were about when Malfurion Stormrage was just learning his druid powers. And I read those 3 books. I love the lore. And I needed to see Illidan. And I'm just like so frustrated. I can't do it. There's no way unless I have a child too. So that just pretty much, you know, ends it right there.
It makes writing hard.
That's what I had to do. I had to readjust my thinking in WoW to get back in it. And when I was listening to The Instance, and I was like, you know what? I'll try another podcasting guild. And I got on, I tried the Horde, because I was pretty much all Alliance, except for my short stint on the Pod People. And I love it. The guild is huge, right? Isn't it the second biggest guild in WoW?
Yeah.
That's what the rumor is.
Yeah. So
I haven't actually verified that myself, but
yeah, and personally,
yeah,
we don't
doubt that there's.
We don't want to encourage. Oh, I don't know. As officers, sometimes we wonder if, you know, if it's going to become an explosion. But yeah, everybody's welcome, and it's lots of fun. Yeah.
Well, I when it comes to listening to different podcasts and a lot of the people that are in our guild that do other podcasts, I don't hear a lot of promoting of the guild. You know, people are just they hear the instance, they try it out, word of mouth gets around. I really don't hear straight up ads for the guild, you know? It's something that's taken on a life of its own. It really has.
Yeah, one thing is nice is we never have to broadcast and trade.
Oh, yeah.
Lord. I know. We've got a tabard and event server.
And a guild bank.
Every Friday night, we sit around and, you know, play checkers and do arts and crafts night on the bank steps. Yeah, there's some funny ones out there.
So when you're not playing World of Warcraft, when you take your little breaks, what do you do instead?
Well, I have a PSP that there's something about being a man and going to the bathroom. I just can't do it. I just can't sit there and stare off into space, which women can, and I don't get this. And I need to have something to read or to look at, and my PSP or DS sits in the bathroom. And right now, I'm watching The Dark Crystal, the Jim Henson movie, in 5-minute stints.
And we are getting a flavor of just what despair in video games is like.
I don't know what I would do whenever, no matter how much the emergency, when I have to go to the bathroom, I don't think to myself, geez, I got to get to the bathroom and do it. I'm like, no, what am I going to bring with me? I can't just sit there. But or twiddle your thumbs. No, but I have an Xbox Live right now that my account, all my friends are like, dude, where are you? And WoW is, and I'm not feeling burned out at all. I'm very excited. I went, Armacheo, you looked at my character. I don't even know how long I've been on, about a month and a week maybe.
And I was very impressed by the levels that you've made in the time that you've joined. I looked at it and thought, my God, I hope you didn't start this at level one when you joined this guild. But 20, even so, yeah, very fast leveling.
24, 23 or 24, I think, is my level when I started, and I'm 60, almost 61 right now. So
what do you think of my game style?
The greatest thing about being with Aprillion is you better watch your ass, because there's not going to be any healing going on. And I'm sitting there watching her character. Like, what did we do, just you and I, the other
just
night?
Just to let the listeners know, a lot of times I like to go into instances. Sometimes they're below me, below my level with all three of my characters, or sometimes right at the level. And the other night, last night we went into Dire Maw, and where did we go the night before?
The night before was just you and I. I had my mage, and
we went into, oh my gosh.
I know, I'm getting old. but anyways, it's fun. I'm sitting here thinking, all right, she's triple boxing. She's got three monitors in front of her, and I'm watching her characters, and she has to do the initial pull and keep the aggro. Since I'm the mage, I'm going to get squished.
Oh, BRD. We went to BRD.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Right.
And I can see what you're doing just by watching your characters. It's very intriguing to me. It's like, all right, she has to set this up. She has to attack. Then she has to send her pets in. Then she has to back up. And I'm just like, wow, that's a lot to take in. And it's really impressive to watch you do that.
But it's not. But, I mean, do you think it's wrong to do something so unorthodox? Or do you feel like it would ever be anything you would want to try? Or
I've thought about it. And the most I would ever do is to have just one other. And I've thought about it. I really have. But I don't know that my brain would work that way. I am actually leveling a paladin healer right now. He's up to 12 because I really enjoy the healing and I want to get that back in. And I have to ask you, do you have a healer at all?
I have one healer, but healing is very hard. She's a level 17, and she hasn't. I got her grouping with a warrior because I thought it would be great. And even at the lower levels, the coordination, I mean, it works, and it's a little bit hard because you have to, when you're dual or triple boxing and you have a squishy character, you need a kind of a buffer zone between the time a mob starts hitting on the squishy one and the time it dies.
Yeah.
Because if you're not watching, you can, if you look over at that screen and see that awful dialogue box.
Shea, what combinations do you take out usually?
So I'm a fairly, you know, recent devotee to dual boxing. So the only two that, well, three now. So the three pairs that I've done is the original was Jekyll and Hyde, and that's a hunter and druid. So I've got that buffer there because you've got a hunter with a pet that's holding aggro. The hunter itself is doing DPS, and the druid can heal. So you've got that buffer. It was a good combination. And I really think with dual boxing, as I'm finding with my latest pair of the two mages, having squishies is a lot tougher, a lot tougher.
Yeah.
The pair that I did in the middle is the pair that I really enjoy the most, and that's the paladin priest combination. I think anybody starting out in dual boxing, I would really recommend a paladin priest combination, because the paladin can take, you know, so much damage before he actually dies. You've got a huge buffer there, and a priest can spec shadow priest, and you're not only doing a whole stack of DPS, you're healing at the same time.
And they can res each other.
That's really my favorite. Yeah, and you can res each other. It's my favorite combination. I really don't think I'm going to find a combination that I like better than that.
Well, it was funny because in Dire Maul last night, it was my two hunters, Real Fire and Aunt Rilia, and my warlock, Aprilian, and Goldfin, who I've mentioned before, who's a level 64 mage, I think she is, and she's leveling like a pretty like a machine as well, and River Sky, and I have to tell you, as much I love the firepower, the mages are amazing, but the munching and drinking, fight, munch, munch, drink, drink, fight, munch, munch, drink, drink.
Right.
I guess you guys need a lot of mana and food, but it was interesting. But hey, free food, free water, drinks, so you can't beat that.
Free ports.
Yes, that was very handy.
That's the thing that the Blizzard have been very clever with. Every single class has got its, ooh, I like this.
Right.
And it's just about your playstyle to figure out which of those ooze you really like the most, and that's the one you'll stick with.
Yeah. So, anything else you want to add about your gameplay, Priest?
So you don't classify yourself as an alcoholic, though it sounds like you do have a few tunes. I was under the impression that you had, like, you know, one other main tune and this tune that you'd started on Earthen Ring. You obviously do have quite a few. Do you actually go back and play them, or once you've moved on and you roll a new tune like this one, you know, that's basically it, and all the other ones are left behind and forgotten?
I think we lost Priest.
Oh, my mic's on mute. The phone was ringing, and we have this obnoxious UK.
Yeah, I thought somebody was in London, and they were getting the police.
I thought you were watching
coming.
The bill.
I thought I'd be
that
clever
probably,
and mute
that probably
myself.
Went over your head. Do you guys get the bill? That the cop TV show over there? Probably not.
No.
We don't import culture.
we get a few things, like we get a lot of those BBC, like the EastEnders and stuff, but we haven't gotten that one yet.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I had something funny and important I wanted to say, but I have no clue what that was. But after the Pod People Guild, and I finished that, and I was like, all right, I didn't enjoy. You know what? The one class I don't like Warlocks. I honestly don't enjoy. I've played every class, and Warlocks are my least favorite, I'd have to say. They're very useful, and I don't know. It's like Hunter skew. I have a 61 Hunter Blood Elf on the Malygoth server. I have a bunch on Malygoth. I have a 58 Warrior. I have a 50 Rogue. There's a bunch of characters sitting on the Malygoth server just all kind of crying, wondering where I went. But it's something about the Warlock. I tried to get back on him. I'm like, well, he's a Horde guy. I can just bring him over to Earthen Ring. And I tried playing him for a while, and I was like, I don't enjoy this. And that's the only character I can say that about, out of all the different types of classes.
But you seem to, by what I noticed, that you play your one character on Earthen Ring more than the others right now. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like, because of the new experience boost, I haven't experienced the experience. Once I hit 60, it was just like, I'm like, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, I remember now. God, it's so much slower.
Yep.
congrats on your new mount, by the way.
That was funny.
If you want to check out our YouTube channel, we we raced down the Dead Scar last night after Priest's level 60 character got his chicken.
The chicken.
It's an emu. That's a sad emo, so he's an emo emu.
Yeah, that's right.
It was a lot of fun running through there. You know, of course, there's a lot of low-level things that try to hit at you, and we stopped and hit somebody and helped somebody get that big ugly thing.
Stitches, dude. Yeah.
Loots, and that was kind of neat.
Yeah, and we backed up to the very beginning of the Scar. I took off all my clothes, and then. I started playing WoW. No, I mean, I took off all my clothes and the character.
If you weren't going to go there, I was going to.
When we rode the length of the Scar butt naked on our epic land mounts, that was good fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, why are these two naked blood elves stopping to help me kill this guy? They got back on their emus and took off.
That's what WoW's all about.
Yes, the surreal moments.
Well, I'm going to reciprocate the favor at some point in the future and have you on my podcast. And Asheo, you are definitely in the plan for that too, once I figure out how to record with Skype. So.
All right. Well, thanks for being here. We enjoy listening to your podcast. That's Video Despair and Video Games. And you can find it on iTunes. And again, it's an explicit.
I must say that on every single podcast. It's explicit. If you're 17, please do not. And I get letters from 13-year-old kids and 14-year-old. I'm like, I just I don't know what to say to them. You know, it's like, you shouldn't be listening to it.
Right.
But anyways.
And adults over 30 also probably.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those are a lot of interesting, my listener letters, I don't even know what to say about that. Some of them, my girlfriend's like, oh my God, that guy is suicidal. I'm like, I know, it's a pretty creepy letter.
Oh, wow.
I
anything you wanted to add, Ashaya?
No.
Okay.
You put it best in your review of my podcast. I think that's the best review you can get. If someone says, hey, it's a great podcast, you're just like, oh, it's just somebody saying it's great. But when somebody's ambivalent about it, it becomes interesting.
Right.
And thank you for that.
All right. And if you could just close out with our usual clothesline, we'd really appreciate it.
Which is, you've been listening to Control Out WoW, the podcast for people who have alts and love making alts.
Oh, wow.
That was me rambling there.
Rendition
there.
Of the intro.
I know. That's pretty good.
I'm never.
The FTH.
Yeah, but we go out with Farmer Show and For the Horde.
For the Horde. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Priest River Sky. That was really neat to have you on the show. And we hope we can do stuff like this again in the future.
For sure.
Yeah. So let's get to emails. Do you want to read the first one?
And the second one?
Okay. Go ahead.
I better find it. Emails. Mm-hmm. It is pronounced reagent. Because it is a reagent. If it was pronounced regent, it would be spelled R-E-G-E-N-T. Reagent and regent are two different words. Thank you. This is from Ron. Ron's backing up my pronunciation of reagent. And no, you cannot create a portal to Shat as mage until you're level 60, as we suspected, which is a bit of a pain, but there you go. As far as asking about mod goes, I have something you could discuss. I would like to know what mods that you have found successful in indicating to you when your cooldowns expire. I play a 64 paladin and tank, a 64 paladin tank, and a 70 holy priest.
Differentiate between a paladin healer, right?
Cool. Yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay. All right.
I use CT buff and SCT, but find them both lacking. My pally tank needs to know when a judgment is ready, and SCT flashes it by so quickly I usually miss it because I'm busy. And I really don't like squinting at CT buff to look how much longer I have on my seals. The same can be said for my priest and the cooldowns for his healing. What I'm looking for is a mod that will flash in big bold letters that I can adjust that the cooldown has expired. Any ideas would be appreciated. Thanks in advance, Ron.
It's a good thing that he wrote that email, because our next episode is going to... We're going to go into more detail about all our mods, right?
Right, we are. We're skipping this week because we had a bunch of other things to talk about, but we're all going through our mods. But as much as I'd like to say I have an answer, I don't have an answer. I would like the same thing. The global cooldowns or the cooldown of a spell, the standard toolbar changed. Yeah, you can actually see some of the when cooldowns is up by glancing down at that, but it really isn't all that obvious. And the other thing that I think I've mentioned before, the other thing I do a lot is not change my auras. It's like I'll be fighting with Crusader Aura, which is this useless aura when you're not mounted because it just makes you ride fast. So, and yeah, I'm judging a lot more than I should be, because it's really not obvious when your seal's going to expire, and so I judge by the time I, rather than glance up and risk missing having to put on another seal to judge, I just judge it. So I'm wasting mana. So yeah, I've looked a bit, but I will put some effort into looking some more. But if anybody out there has a mod that does make it more obvious, we'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, that sounds good. You can write us at controlaltwow@gmail.com, and we really like to hear about that. I use some kind of countdown, but it just does it. It seems to give it a number, but I don't know how it would work with Paladin, so. If somebody knows, write us. But Ron wrote us again. So read his next email.
You want me to?
Yeah.
Okay.
Please.
Hi again. I meant to ask the show something about your AIA guild. I have several high-level toons that would like to do end-game raiding, but have a hard time because I work Monday to Friday, midnight shift at a hospital, and do most of my gaming after work between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. EST. As I'm sure you know, a show, these are not prime-time raiding. I was wondering, with you being Australia, I'm not sure what the time difference is. I'm sure that you find yourself playing occasional mornings, in the morning hours Eastern Standard Time. My question is, do you think I'd be able to find a small raiding group within your guild that would like to have scheduled raids in Mondays, in the morning hours, Monday to Friday? Any help in this would be greatly appreciated. Thanks in advance, Ron. Australia, for me, it's... Yeah, this time now is about when I start to play, and it's currently server time. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, 3 a.m. So I'm kind of playing, you know, 3 a.m. until, you know, breakfast time, server time. So I don't actually see, you know, by the time you've got morning time, you know, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., I don't see who's on at that time. I'm really on at that time apart from weekends. But having said that, 2 points. AIE isn't a raiding guild. The officers don't form, you know, or, you know, the people that form raids don't do so in an officer role. It's more about members organising. It's more about members organising the raids themselves. But because we are so big, and there are at any time of the day, I mean, even now it's you know, 2:30 in the morning. You know, granted it is Saturday. You know, there's more than, I don't know how many people are online, because WHO only shows you a maximum of 50. But there's 49 people online now, you know, at the quiet time. So I would have to say the answer is yes. If you're keen to help form a raid group, you know, I'm sure that there would be 10 people on any time of the day or night that you could get a raid formed.
Yeah, but the emphasis is it's very casual.
Yes.
And there's not a lot of,
yeah,
you know.
Don't join us thinking this is a, you know, because we've got hundreds of, literally hundreds of 70s, that we're a hardcore raiding guild, because we ain't.
And we like it that way. It's we can do some things. We can get together with some friends, and you know, get some stuff accomplished. But the pressure isn't there, which there shouldn't be, because it's a game.
Yeah, I would, me included. I would say quite a large proportion of the people in this guild are people that have burnt out on, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 day a week multi-hour raid guilds, and just have had enough of that style of the game.
I mean, I personally think that I'm not going to see Kara unless.
Well, you Shea will, but it'd be like you're seeing Dymal.
Right, and Shea runs me through when she's level 80.
Yeah. Once you're level 80s, run you and your 3 level 66s through. Well, no, yeah. You'll need to be 70.
Yeah. So thanks, Ron, for both emails. Those were really good questions and points. And yes, it's a reagent. And we want to thank River Sky, and we enjoyed talking to him.
We did.
Yes, that was really nice good. Stuff. Yeah, and we'll probably have more of those. Just I said that word earlier and it came out properly. I knew if I tried it again. But we'll have we wanted to talk about the different ways of playing World of Warcraft, because, you know, there are so many different ways, and we play the alt way, but sometimes it's good to be a purist and do things a different way.
No, it's not. They're all mad.
Yeah, they're all mad. So, well, until next week, this is Aprilian for Control Alt WoW, episode 68, for the Horde.
And this is Ashaya for the Horde.
It's been real. May you always be victorious.
May the gates of Quel'Thalas be open to you. Always.
May our paths cross again.
Catch you later.
Al'dir Shala.
Go in peace.